Hillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Titans minicamp day one in the books. They will be on the field tomorrow and Thursday, and then they wrap it up and they're done until training camp. Can you believe it? I mean, we're 6 months into the year. My son tomorrow will be officially 6 months old. It is crazy how fast time flies. But I want to start with what I think is kind of the big takeaway from minicamp today. And that was Jeffrey Simmons finally met with the media. So Brian Callahan, at the beginning of OTAs, sat down with everybody and said, this accountability structure, these eight teams that we have divided the one central Titans unit into, is going to keep track of everything from whether or not you get things right in the meetings to whether or not you jump offside to whether or not you catch an interception to whether or not you make a field goal to whether or not you win tug of war or rock, paper, scissors. And it'll all be out there for everybody to see. So this is going to hold guys accountable, and we're going to develop leaders, and the eight teams are going to have captains and assistant captains, and this is going to be what makes a difference for us in September, October, November, and December. And Jeffrey Simmons, again, the best player on the team, the guy that they put on billboards, the guy they paid $23.5 million to, didn't think he needed to be there. And so Jeffrey Simmons today met with the media. And there are two separate things he said that I want to touch on, but I think the moral of the story is the same. This was Jeffrey Simmons when asked, where in the hell was he?
Great to be back out here on the field with the guys, getting to work with the guys. You know, it's not always an easy decision, making it that decision not to be here with your teammates, especially with a lot of new guys. First pick of the draft, not being here, but, you know, I made that decision. It's a personal decision. Today was a good day. I was glad to be back. You know, like I said, that was my decision. It was a personal decision, and that's pretty much what it was. And like I said, it felt great to be back out here today.
What led into that decision to stay away?
I said it was a personal decision, and like I said, today I was back out here full of energy. It was great to be back out here with the guys.
Personal football decision?
It's a personal from football, off to everything. Like I made that decision because of me.
Okay. So that was the where were you? Well, it was a personal decision. It's actually a professional decision, not a personal decision, but that's okay. So not a great answer. Then he was talking about pass rush. Again, Brian Callahan said today he wants Simmons to get more sacks. Reed played that in the update. This was Simmons talking about the pass rush earlier today.
Yeah, like I said, we always talk about it. Everybody got to be on the same page. Last year, we went into games. We knew what team was doing. We knew team was game planning me. We knew team was, going to double me. They're going to slide to me. So if we know that, we have to do a better job, and we talked about it, and we've been talking about it since last year. And everything, even the individual, we're going through things and working through things together as a group, the whole up front. And you're talking about, all right, this guy getting a slide, then we got to have a balance of rusher. That guy on the other side getting a one-on-one. Eight guys on the edge, they got one-on-one. So, we talk about the 4 points of the quarterback, back foot, front foot, upfield. And then I said, when you rushing quarterbacks, most of the time it's four-man rushing. So we all got a back arm. We all got a point we have to get to. And, if we not at them points, eventually the quarterback escapes. Pretty much everybody in our division to play quarterback can run. And when you not on the same page up front, you create them rush lanes and you create explosion downfield. So quarterbacks able to step up. So at the end of the day, it's four guys rushing. We have to be on the same page, make sure that there's no escape lanes. And no matter if we got a game or not, we all got to be on the same page.
We got to be on the same page. Why weren't you there? Well, it's a personal decision. But if you want to get on the same page, don't you need to be around your teammates? And again, the way he began that was just so condescending of his teammates. We all know I'm getting double teamed. We all know that they're game planning against me. We all know, but we have talked about it. We have to be better. It sounds like you're really saying you have to be better. You have to be better. You have to be better. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think that if Arden Key was that clueless part of the pass rush, that they would have wanted him back. I can promise you, Harold Landry was a lot of things. He's not a moron. And I have a pretty good idea that Harold Landry did what he was supposed to do when he was told to do it. If he didn't, I don't think Mike Vrabel would have rushed to sign him. I have been very anti-trading Jeffrey Simmons. There were people last year ahead of the trade deadline when DeAndre Hopkins got traded and Ernest Jones got traded that said, trade Simmons! And I'm like, whoa now. I'm not the biggest Simmons fan. I think Simmons is full of hot air. Quite frankly, I think Simmons is kind of a dope. I'm just going to tell you, I think Simmons says things and is so unaware of how it comes off that he just, I just don't think he can read the room at all. But again, I had said, you don't get better by getting rid of good players. You don't get better by getting rid of Derrick Henry. You don't get better by getting rid of Danico Autry. You don't get better by getting rid of Kevin Byard. You don't get rid of getting good. You don't get better by getting rid of good players. You just don't. You haven't even replaced Jonnu Smith from a couple of years ago. And in some cases, it is inevitable. Frank Ragnow, very good player for the Lions, retired last week. You're going to have to replace him. A good assistant coach takes a head coaching job. You're going to have to replace him. So I have been very much in the belief that Jeffrey Simmons needs to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. But after today, I just don't know how you can be a team that talks about culture and be led by this selfish and unaware of a leader. I just don't know how you can do it. I just don't know how you can win with this guy. When, again, last year they drafted T'Vondre Sweat, and T'Vondre Sweat had all these problems that everybody was worried about. Teams took him off draft boards, and the Titans said, Big Jeff is going to be with him. Well, has Big Jeff taught T'Vondre Sweat how to be completely unaware and selfish? Because, again, that seems to be what Jeffrey Simmons is doing. And if you're of the belief, and I'm not, but if you're of the belief that rock, paper, scissors is going to be what makes the Titans a watchable football team in 2025, then how can you take the guy and prop him up there the way they prop him up, who doesn't produce on the field? The coach even admitted to it today, saying he needs to go get sacks. How do you prop up the guy who doesn't produce on the field and at the same time is basically crapping all over rock, paper, scissors, tug of war, and tiddlywinks, which, again, you think is going to be what transforms your team? And the reason I have been against trading Simmons is not only because you don't get better by getting rid of good players, but also because I look at it and say, well, what are you going to get in return? If somebody offered me 2 first-round picks for Jeffrey Simmons, I'd trade him in a heartbeat. I'd drive him to wherever he's got to go. Well, I don't, Jeff, whatever, I'll pay for it. But we know that's not the going rate. Kaharski put out at some point during the year, he talked to some insiders inside the league who said a 2nd-round pick. And I'm like, that's not good enough. Like, you need Simmons. Simmons plays like a first rounder most of the time. You need Simmons to play better. I don't use the term cancer when it comes to teams because it's not that I have a problem with calling somebody a cancer, knowing just how bad cancer actually is. It's just, it's hard when you're not inside the locker room and you're not on the team to know who's what. But it feels like to me that Jeffrey Simmons is everything that's been wrong with the Tennessee Titans for the last couple of years. Jeffrey Simmons is completely unaware. Jeffrey Simmons is completely entitled. And Jeffrey Simmons, quite frankly, doesn't have respect for what it takes to be good on a consistent basis in the NFL. Jeffrey Simmons doesn't respect his teammates. Derrick Henry, for years, never complained about Aaron Brewer or Andre Dillard or Nicholas Petit-Ferrer or any Dennis Daly or any of those bums, ever. Jeffrey Simmons is saying, we all know I'm getting double-teamed out here. We just have to get on the same page. Translation, it's my teammates, not me. At some point, you got to get rid of that. And from what I've seen and gathered when it comes to Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard and even Arden Key, who I don't think is very good, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, it sounds like these guys want to be a part of the solution. It sounds to me like Simmons wants everybody just to praise Jeffrey Simmons. And I don't think on a young team that's going to be bad, I don't think you win with that as the example. So I am now at the point where I feel like I'm joining a lot of you, and I think it's probably time for them to start exploring or even thinking about life after Simmons. And if nothing else, please stop kissing his ass for all of us. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Plus, what if this feeling might actually be mutual? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
So what is your opinion, Jeff? What do you got?
I start off with the NFL side of it. especially playing my position. You know, in my opinion, I wish people were, you know, especially on the outside world, you know, they say, oh, he had a down year, this and that. But, you know, they don't take in consideration that, you know, especially like this week, you know, they got the NFL coaches meeting and they all down there, the media down there. Now, why not just go ask some of these coaches, head coaches, what is your game plan against number 98 for the Titans? You know, it's never single blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of looking at the game, stat sheet, look at the game itself and how many hands is on number 98 every game.
The tape. Watch the tape, right? That's what you're saying. Watch the tape.
You know, at this point, you hate to say it to the media because some people want to consider you as a butthole, but, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes I do get a little frustrating and, you know, just to hear, you know, you not having a good year, what you think the problem is. I'm like, because I'm getting double teamed 95% of the game. So, you know, that's one of my opinions.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons saying, hey, the reason I don't get sacks is because I get double teamed. It certainly could not be my fault. Again, I feel bad. Like, is that what you want? Like, is that when it comes to leadership? Like, hey, go check the tape. It is absolutely not my fault. And I want everybody to know that. It's like, oh, okay. One thing I do wonder on the Simmons front, and I've seen some texts about this, and this would change my opinion about whether or not they should trade Simmons. Kyle in Shelbyville says, Jeffrey Simmons is frustrated. I believe he wants to be traded. He thinks he can be a superstar in another team, which he could be right. I do wonder if Jeffrey Simmons looks at Derrick Henry and thinks, Derrick Henry's happy. A.J. Brown's happy. Everybody else is happy. Vrabel's gone. He's somewhere else where they want him. John Robinson's gone. All the people I grew up with, they're all gone. And I'm on this crap team. And so maybe I just won't show up and I'll act like a total a-hole and I'll do all of that just to try to get traded. And if Simmons is doing that, then I'd turn the other way and I'm like, no, you don't get what you want. I'm not going to, trying to think of the right way to say this, I'm not going to reward somebody for bad behavior. I don't want to do that. And maybe that's part of it. But in that same interview, you know, where Simmons talked about how the media might label him a butthole, Simmons said he believes in Callahan and he believes in Denard Wilson and all of that. So I don't even know what to believe. TD said he doesn't want to be traded, you know, when he was on the Power Hour the other day. But I could see it. And I will say this, when it comes to trading Simmons, you're best off doing it around the trade deadline. That's when you're best off trading him, when one of these teams thinks, you know, that they're better than they thought. They have an injury. They think of somebody like Buffalo, you know, has a big injury and most of the money's already been paid to Simmons. And so then you ship him off and you get a second round pick in return. That may be the better time to do it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Leonard has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Leonard, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Jared, I got a question. You got $20.
Do I have $20? What you mean, like $20 cash?
Yeah, because I need some crack after listening to that Rex Burkhead caller. He's one of the dumbest people I've ever heard. I don't know what inbred part of Alabama he is from, but he is one of the dumbest people I have ever heard. If the Titans want to be better, they got to address the defense, get a solid linebacker, maybe get a safety partner for Armani Hooker and another corner, because you can never trust LeJarius Sneed to be healthy all the time. I don't know what he's talking about, bringing a veteran running back in. It's 35, has what, 84 yards on 26 carries, and he hasn't played in 2 years. That is one of the dumbest people I have ever heard.
Is meth only $20?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. Thank you for the call. I have no idea. I figured drugs were more expensive than that. Again, I don't do meth, so I can't tell you what it is or what it isn't. But surely drugs are more expensive than that, right? Again, make of that what you will. I do agree with you on the corner front. And I did ask Brian Callahan today about LeJarius Sneed. And I was like, can you rely on LeJarius Sneed given the on-the-field and off-the-field issues? And he was like, well, you know, he's got a reputation and he's done it before. So, it's like, yeah, I don't think so. Joey from Bellevue says when it comes to Jeffrey Simmons, it's depressing when Simmons says he always gets double teamed. So if he gets double teamed and Sweat gets double teamed, shouldn't that leave at least one lineman available to only block both edges and blitzers? And yet the defense as a whole sucked at sacking the quarterback or pressuring the quarterback last year. Ding, 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 ding. He continues, I've never heard Trey Hendrickson, J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, Chris Jones, or Micah Parsons complaining about being double-teamed. Simmons should be ashamed for making excuses because elite players don't make excuses. Again, ding, 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 ding. You know what's funny is Jaire Alexander got cut by the Packers along the same lines as Simmons. He's just a pain in the ass. And so he got cut by the Packers. And all I could think about was last year when Will Levis threw that pick six against the Packers. Jaire Alexander was just sitting on it, and he took it to the house for a touchdown. And D. Mace and everybody else was like, yeah, you can't throw that ball. Like, as a veteran quarterback, you cannot throw that ball. He is sitting on that route. You cannot throw that. And Brian Callahan was like, I mean, that was just a great player making a great play. Like, we're all stupid or something. And I'm thinking, well, if that's such a great player making a great play, why are you not pushing everybody in there to go get you a Jaire Alexander now that Jaire Alexander's available? I'm sure that probably won't happen. Greg in Clarksville says, Simmons is upset because he wanted management to draft an edge rusher in the first round, so that he would stop getting double-teamed. So it is personal for him to pout. Okay. But again, Jeffrey Simmons is not the general manager. He's not the coach. He's not the owner. He's a defensive tackle. It's not his job to tell them who to draft. One texter's knocking Jill. Hey, at least Jill set it up for Jeffrey Simmons to say that when he makes excuses that he sounds like a butthole, which is one of my favorite cuts to play. 615-737-1025. Cam Ward, again, I've told you, I thought he was fine today at practice. I didn't think he was incredible, and I certainly didn't think he was bad. But the usual suspects are already blowing their you-know-whats over what Cam Ward did today. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.
We talked to you was before Cam had the third down day, which you said was kind of going to be a big day for him. But look a little bit bumpier maybe than we'd seen him previous, possibly. Just wanted to get your thoughts, your
email. Yeah, I thought it was a good day for him. And a good day doesn't necessarily mean a high-level performance, but it was a good day for him as a young player to see all the things that are coming at him. He did some really good things, and there was some cool stuff that he learned from that he maybe hadn't encountered before, first time out going against a blitz-heavy attack like our defense is, and presents a lot of problems, a lot of things you have to manage from the quarterback position, a lot of things maybe for the first time he's done. So that was really good to see. Plenty of things to coach off of on the tape. He understands things pretty quickly as far as, you know, what the looks are and what our answers are. He's done a nice job of catching up to those things. But really good first day. And the red zone's the other area, too, where, you know, things happen a lot faster. The windows are tighter. The recognition happens quicker. The throws have to be on point. And so there's been really good learning down in the red zone, too. So excited about all that process. There's, you know, something every day for him, which is you know, a lot of our young players too. It's been good to work through all that stuff.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan today. Now, Callahan spoke before practice, so it wasn't a breakdown of how he performed today. And today, Cam Ward, again, I watched Cam Ward. He was fine. Cam Ward, and I say fine, and I mean that with all due respect, like Cam Ward was fine on the field out there. He's got that lightning quick release. He hit some good, he threw one great pass. I mean, just one of those damn type throws. And it was over the middle, and it was a bullet right over the head of Curtis Joseph, right into the hands of Gunnar Helm. He had a completion to Helm that was a little behind him. You know, he threw a bunch of passes to Restrepo today. You know, he was fine. I walked out of that thinking, you know, okay, Cam Ward played fine. You know, I asked Buck, I said, if somebody asked you, Buck, how's Cam Ward doing? What would you say? And Buck said, I would say he looks like a rookie. And I would say, well, you know, he looks fine. I mean, I still would have taken that Giants trade if Adam Schefter and Paul are right, that it was 2-1s and 2-2s, though I have heard a conflicting, wouldn't say report, but I've heard some conflicting info that it may not have been 2-1s and 2-2s. But again, when it comes to Cam Ward, he was fine. Fine for minicamp. Again, would there have been some sacks in that? Maybe. There was one where Simmons came off the edge and he shuffled past it to Spears. There was one where Amani Hooker came on a blitz and he kind of off balance. And again, this is what, you know, this is kind of the special tool. The special tool in Cam's bag is these off-platform, off-balance throws. Cam, off his back foot, not expecting Amani Hooker to come on a safety blitz, popped off his back foot and threw a ball to Elik Aomanor, which was a very good throw and a completion that would have been a nice gain against the blitz. Cam was fine. I know dealing when I see it. He wasn't dealing out there today at camp. He was good. Good. Fine. Solid. Nothing to knock, nothing to get too excited about. Again, I still wish he was a little taller. And there were a couple of those throws in there where he tried to fit him in there that's like, I don't know if you're not playing Curtis Joseph. And if that's somebody good, you know, what does that mean for you? But again, it was fine. So Jim Wyatt puts out his observations. And the headline is, when quarterback Cam Ward into practice with 18 straight completions. Cam Ward, oh my, Jim Wyatt said. On the first day of the team's minicamp, the Titans rookie quarterback was intercepted for the first time this offseason by linebacker Cody Barton on a throw across the middle. It came during 7-on-7 period on Ward's third pass of the day. So what did Ward do? He completed the next 18 passes in practice, including 6-of-7 and 7-on-7, and a perfect 14-for-14 in team periods, making him 20-for-21 for the day. It was Ward's best practice of the offseason. That's all Jim wrote. And I saw that, and I saw Twitter immediately just go, ah! I mean, Cam Ward, did you see that? Oh, my God. Let me stop you. I did see it. It was fine. And yet the usual places, podcasters that weren't out at practice, they're already dropping videos, already dropping. It's coming up on Twitter on the For You page. I'm already seeing it right now. Cam Ward was cooking today at Titans practice. We react to Cam Ward's incredible day at practice. It wasn't that good. It really wasn't. And again, it wasn't bad, which means it's a step up from what Levis was doing last year when he threw the ball in the lake. So I guess that's good. But again, like, let's not get too carried away here. Like, let's not get too, again, I guess, I mean, I wasn't scouting each throw saying, you know, complete, incomplete, or whatever. I was watching practice, and I saw some good things. He certainly doesn't look like Malik Willis did a couple years ago at practice. But, I mean, give me a break. Like, this was not cooking. This was not dazzling. This was not sizzling. This was not dealing. This was not, again, this was not Joe Burrow going out there and, again, let's say 20 for 21 and lighting somebody up with one of those Joe Burrow days. He was good. He was fine. I think PK put out there he was solid. Listen to PK tomorrow morning. If you guys know PK does not like me. Listen to PK tomorrow. And he was there. And I promise you, he's probably going to say he was fine. Like, it was okay. Yeah, good. Okay, whatever. Not, oh my God, he absolutely lit it up. Oh my God. One texter says, facts are the facts, Jared. Dude, I saw it. I watched practice. I know when somebody wows at practice. I remember watching A.J. Brown in between his injuries his first year, and there was some wow with A.J. Brown on the field. I remember Chris Johnson, the first handoff he ever took as a Titan was in a preseason game, and he ran right up the middle for 65 yards and a touchdown against the Rams, and it was like, wow. I know what wow looks like. I've seen Mariota with some days in practice that are like, wow. Again, I'm not saying Cam's not going to have some of those days. He might. I hope he does. I hope he's really good. But today was not a wow day. Again, the best ball that was thrown by Levis, and it was a ball on the sideline for Io Manor. Now, Levis made more mistakes than Cam did today. But, again, this idea of just getting carried away. Just, oh, my God, 20 of 21, he's the best. I'm like, easy. Easy. Some people are going to think I'm just a hater. But, I mean, again, I thought Cam was fine. I thought it was solid. Fine. Good. Whatever. Texture says, Jared, you're the GM. Who is your quarterback 1, 2, and 3? And what is the probability that all three get playing time during the regular season? Well, I guess, you know, I would want to see how they perform, you know, before deciding, okay, who's 1, 2, or 3. I think right now Brandon Allen would be the starting quarterback for me, and Cam's got to earn the starting job in camp. And there's got to be a couple things at play with Cam here. Number one, I need to make sure that whatever bad habits Cam has, and I don't know what they are, but whatever bad habits he has, I need to make sure that he's not going to take them into the game and develop more bad habits. Like, I'm going to need to make sure that, hey, whatever it is that we got to work on with Cam, we can drill that down before the start of the season, before we stick him out there in real games, because once you get going, there's no slowing down. The second thing would be, can Cam handle the failure? Because this team sucks. Like, they're bad. And then I think the third thing is, you know, do I want to give the offensive line a couple of weeks, get past the Broncos, get past the Rams before I stick him out there? So right now I would say Brandon Allen 1, Cam 2, Levis 3. I don't get too in to the Levis storyline here. I understand Levis infamous for what happened last year, and I understand that he's still on the team, and that's a little confusing. And everybody knows Levis does have a modicum of talent. But I just don't think, even if Levis plays well in the preseason and they trade him, I don't think that you'll get anything good in return. So I don't get excited about that. I don't think Levis is going to beat out Cam Ward. So I don't think he's actually going to play. I don't think Levis is mentally strong enough. I'm sorry, just calling it how it is. I don't think he's strong enough mentally in order to improve enough to where it's like, oh my God, this could be the next Tannehill where he goes somewhere else, or Drew Brees, or what. I just don't see it. Baker Mayfield, I just don't see it. So I guess I would put him third. Tim Boyle's not going to be on the team. At least not if I was the coach. One texter says, Titans fans need to realize that Cam isn't even going against our full team defense, 7-on-7 with no pass rush, defenders and no pads, and more importantly, going up a defense that is terrible compared to the rest of the league. Some fans are overreacting when Brian Callahan went 3-3 in the preseason, then went 3-15 in 18 regular season games, 3-14 in 17, excuse you, Cole. Cam is doing his job against BS competition, and that's good, but it doesn't mean anything. But Cam is doing what a first-round pick should be doing in OTAs. That comes from Cole in Louisville. Again, I thought today was a step in the right direction. And the one thing I've seen at the two practices I've been to, the one OTA and the one mini camp, is Cam does have a lightning fast release, which is something that you cannot coach. One texter says, to put the you never say anything positive crowd at bay, what is encouraging you? What is encouraging to you about the Titans right now? So I can't go into depth on this, and I'm not going to go into depth on this. But I would say I had a conversation in which I feel like the Titans smell the coffee more than they have in the past. And I find that to be encouraging. I mean, the first step at fixing any problem is to admit that you have a problem. It is to look in the mirror and say, okay, I need to change, and here's how. And so I don't know if the Titans are smart enough to get it figured out, but I would just say I had a conversation in which I feel a little better about it, that I do feel like the Titans are realistic about the building of their football team. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. And let's give something away because, you know, why not? Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you'll go score a pair of tickets to see Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety, plus the hits with special guest Manchester Orchestra at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, June 25th. Good luck there, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
I want to be as candid with you guys as possible. I kind of like have a thing where talk about my personal life with people I don't know personally. I'm pretty sure everybody here, men and women, are great people, but you know what I'm saying? I kind of keep my personal life personal. I had a conversation with Graves, obviously. I'm going to echo everything that he said. He told me, you know, hoping everybody making good decisions, you know what I'm saying? And I had a conversation with people in the building as well, so, you know, everything else is everything else. You know, the particulars is all internal.
Standing back, it's kind of incumbent on us to ask, what was in the bag?
Obviously, it's a conversation, you know, that's happening internal. You know what I'm saying? I can't have too much of a conversation about it. But I've been in this league 10 years. You can format the question many different ways. You know, I'm going to obviously answer it the same way.
7-7-1, did you know it was being recorded?
Once again, you can format the question many different ways. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for 10 years. The conversation that I had with Raves and the people in the building, obviously, is going to be handled internal. You know what I'm saying? In-house. Thing, so.
You regret it happened?
So you asked me again. I would hate to repeat myself again.
Obviously, we saw you afterwards here. So what? You know, even though you've been in the league for 10 years, we all learn things every single day. What did you learn from it? How do you move forward with it as a New England Patriot?
Obviously, I don't want to be rude, but I would hate to repeat myself for the fourth time. But you want me to repeat myself again? Say the same thing again? I mean, I'm trying to be as polite as possible, but...
That was Stephon Diggs today being asked at Patriots minicamp about the boat and the bag and everything else. And he was like, hey, I don't talk about my personal life with people I don't know personally. I got to give him credit. That is his personal life. Now, you know, when you're breaking the law, it becomes an issue with your professional life. But that is personal. Jeffrey Simmons, again, saying, you know, oh, the reason why I didn't show up to OTAs, that's personal. That's actually not true. That is a professional decision, not a personal decision. Somebody on Twitter replied, the Titans rundown. This is what I'm talking about. We live in this strange world where everybody that has a podcast, and I don't say this disrespectfully to podcasters, but there's like 25 podcasters across the planet who matter. Like Joe Rogan and Alex Cooper, and again, you ain't one of them. But the Titans rundown replied to a tweet about Shedeur Sanders and said, trust me, after how Cam Ward did today, I'm very comfortable with the pick we made. And somebody said, well, Jared Stillman says he was fine. What a clown. And I'm reading this. This is the Titans rundown. A host, Micah McCammy, who's the host of the Titans Rundown, where they talk about the NFL, but mostly the Titans. Again, I don't know who Micah McCammy is. He could walk in my living room right now. I'd call the cops. I have no idea. But these are the people that weren't there that are going to sit there and tell you like, oh, Cam lit it up today, baby. And again, that's just not what happened. And if you want to be intellectually honest, trust people who were there. Again, Kaharski sent out a tweet. He said he was solid. I know good when I see it. NFL Rookie Watch. Again, whatever that is. Cam Ward had one of the most efficient days of practice a rookie quarterback has ever seen today. Holy crap. You would think that after, again, when Levis had that performance against the Falcons, I'm like, well, we should know better than not to get too excited because we all lived through Mariota, who had the same performance. And we lived through Vince Young. And Vince Young was the baddest boy his rookie year. And the answer's just like, no. No. We're going to make this isn't even a big deal. Cam wasn't that good. He was fine. He was fine. Titan fans who weren't there, he was fine. That's it for us. We're out of here. Stillman & Company, day two mini camp tomorrow. I will not be there, but we will be here at 2 p.m. Stillman & Company, 125 The Game.